You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when to turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show today. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I want to welcome you as warmly as I know how to our show today. And I say that because I know that everywhere, all of us are doing the very best we know how right now in some really perilous times, in some trying times. It's difficult right now. It's very, on every front and on every hand. No matter what you believe or don't believe or agree or don't agree, something is happening to you or to someone you love that is unexpected. And so I want to offer you a little bit of encouragement today. I want to just give you some uplifting and encouraging words that will help you. First of all, I want to say thank you so much to all of the wonderful people the wonderful people who make this show possible. We're so grateful to our sponsors, to our donors. We're so excited for all of the people who help us in any way. You are a blessing to us. And I think we need to say thank you in times like these, especially. We need to say to people, we love you. We thank God for you. We are so grateful. that you're in our lives and that you help us. And gratitude shifts everything. You know, gratitude makes what you have into more than enough. And I think that that is really important. I hope that you're spending some time these days. I know it's difficult. I know it's challenging. I know, wow, even a trip to the grocery store is different than it used to be. And I understand that. And I just want to make sure that we're all concentrating and following up on the things that are really important in our lives, spending time with our family and friends, however we do that, being with God, however you understand that. And so I want to give you some encouragement today that will uplift you, I hope, and will give you some reasons to be grateful and to be thankful. What if I asked you to do a favor for me? And you said yes. Well, it seems like I must trust you or I wouldn't have asked you for help, right? So then how would it look if I texted you every few minutes or called saying, how about that favor? Hey, are you ever going to do that favor? Are you going to do what you said you were going to do? Have you done it already? You're not forgetting to do it, are you? Now, out of kindness at first, you might reassure me. But if I kept messaging you, I would only increase my stress and irritate you. And then I'd make it seem like I actually didn't believe in you or your ability to help me. Yeah, kind of sounds familiar, right? Most of us trust the family and the friends and even the Amazon delivery guy or the lady that delivers our DoorDash or Grubhub, enough to not check up on them constantly. We trust them when we place the order and it says order confirmed. We believe that they're going to bring that order. We honestly believe that we're going to get what we want. and we don't check up on them constantly. And yet, when it comes to our prayers, especially during times like these, it seems like we struggle to sustain our faith. You know, if I'm baking some desserts or making something delicious, like the other day, I made some homemade peach sorbet, delicious fresh peaches, and I had to put the whole sorbet in the freezer and wait for it to achieve a certain level of coldness so it would have the right sorbet texture to go with the birthday cake that I also made. I had to wait. It was a time for the peaches and the sugar and everything else that went into it to set up into a delicacy, a real treat that we would all enjoy eating, but we had to wait for it to be ready. Now, if I'd have kept opening the freezer and taking that peach sorbet out, it never would have set up. How would I ever see it become a delightful dessert if I kept taking it out and kept opening the freezer door and kept opening the lid and kept checking to see what's happening? Now, that's really similar to worrying and reasoning once we've made our prayers and our intentions. See, during times like these, our prayers are often about really important things. I'm not saying they all prayers are not important. I'm saying that sometimes when we're praying in times like these, it is a life or death situation. Someone is sick or, you know, troubled. It is about bills and inflation and money. It becomes different, right? We're not praying for something that we could live without. We're praying to survive and make it through in today's economy. We're praying to stay healthy when, my goodness, all around us are all these reasons to be unhealthy. Well, we have to give some good faith to our wonderful, faithful Creator and believe that God is way more able and more willing to help us than any human has ever been. Trusting the goodness of God and the love that God has for you is your seed of faith as you pray. And then we can surrender it to the Holy Spirit. We can replace worry with faith and corresponding actions. Okay, now you're thinking that's easy for you to say. Well, sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. And during the times when it's challenging to walk by faith and not by sight, there's an idea that really helps me. Think outside the box. We've said that so often now, you know, it was an ad campaign and then people started putting it on t-shirts and putting it on social media and saying it so much now that it's just part of the lexicon. But I took it seriously and I made a something for God to do box. I beaded a box where I place all my concerns, which are written on slips of paper. I write down the sick and shut-ins that I know of. I write down our leaders and loved ones. I write down my own personal needs for my family and friends, and I put them all in the box. I pray over them before I do. I take those slips of paper and I pray over them, and then I put them in the box. And when I put them in the box, the minute I put them in there, I believe I receive the answer. I believe that God is going to give me answers to questions and solutions to problems and insights and information and special wisdom and truth and understanding. He's going to give me answers in a way that I can understand and accept and apply. See, that's so important because help is only help if it's helpful. So how many of us have ever had a situation where you saw all the red flags? You saw them, you saw signs, but you didn't know what you were seeing. And then when you found out what was going on, or you found out what this person was really like, or you found out what happened, you said, oh man, that happened to me. I saw that. They did that. They said that. But without understanding, knowledge isn't wisdom. So you saw it, but you didn't know how to apply it. And that's why it's so important to ask God to speak to us and to deal with us in ways that we can understand and ways that we can accept and ways that we can apply to our lives. And when I think of a situation, you know, after I believe I receive my answer, anytime I think about that particular concern that's in the box, I give thanks. And we talked about the importance of gratitude a few minutes ago, because I believe that gratitude is the wonderful secret sauce that helps our prayers so much to manifest faster and to help us while we have to wait and to help us to be in the presence of God. Thanksgiving and gratitude brings us right into the presence of God. And in the presence of God, well, there's fullness of joy. There's wisdom. There's understanding. There's knowledge. There's everything we need. Sometimes you don't have to know what to do about something. You just have to know somebody who does. You know, you just have to know somebody who knows somebody who knows something about it. And when you know God, that's exactly what you have. Every time I think of a situation, though, I'm quick to give thanks. Even if I don't see anything, even if nothing's really happening, I just give thanks. I thank God that He's good and kind and merciful. I thank God that He listens to me, that He hears my prayers and answers them, and I'll pray as long as I breathe. Thank you, Lord, for caring. Thank you for all the things you're doing that I can't see, that I don't know what they are. You know, thank you for the things I take for granted that's really got a whole angelic host working on it all the time, right? One day I was frustrated about a situation in my life, and I felt like God just wasn't doing anything. I felt like He wasn't even hearing me or listening or caring about me. And of course, that's impossible. It's impossible for God to do nothing. God is always doing great and mighty things on our behalf. But I felt really frustrated. And the next day, all kinds of things started happening to me. I mean, strange things, like, you know, almost had a car accident, almost this or that, almost this fell on me, almost this happened. All these things almost happened, but they didn't. And I took it to the Lord, and I was like, Lord, what is going on? I feel like a little video game character where I'm ducking all this terrible stuff that's happening, and it's almost happening, but it isn't happening, and whew. And God blessed me with some insight into the situation. That this is always what's happening. I just don't always get to see it. God is always moving for us. He's stopping that drunk driver a few lights away, and you're crying around because you're running late for work. You're almost going to meet someone who will just ruin your life, and God just makes sure they never text you back. And I really believe but that day showed me that God was all the time working on my behalf. All these almost things that never happened to me that usually I don't even see. I don't even know. God just takes care of them, and I go on about my day. But that day, He let me see how many times He protected me and rescued me and helped me and delivered me and healed me. And I am grateful. And I always do the actions that I need to do to manifest my miracle. So I want to say that, you know, if there's inspired action, if you're praying for a job, you've got to fill out some job applications, you know, right? I mean, I'm always amazed about how many of my single friends tell me they're believing God for a mate or a partner. And then you say to them, well, what do you do? Where do you go? What do you? Nothing. They stay in and watch movies all weekend or, you know, so unless they're future spouse works for the Postal Service or Grubhub, they don't really have a chance to see anybody else. And so I think we have to remember that God may give you inspired action. He may lead you. He may guide you. He may direct you. I was praying for a job one time after I got out of grad school, and I was just praying about it. And I thought, you know, I'll just go online and see what the college around here has open. And that day, I mean, literally, it said posted today, they had an opening that fit my skills perfectly. And I ended up being writer in residence at Western Carolina University. And I think about that because I've been praying. I was asking God to set before me an open door and use my gifts and talents and something I would like and enjoy doing. And, you know, And there it was. But I had to go online. I had to actually, look for something in my field. So remember that there may be inspired actions that you need to do to manifest your miracle, right? I don't want you to worry or be troubled by the circumstance anymore. So even if you don't create an actual something for God to do box, you can imagine one. And I encourage you, find something. Find a jewelry box. Find a small container. Find a mug. Find something that you can actually put some of your prayer concerns in. And it can be your something for God to do container. And even if you don't do that physically, you can still think outside the box. You can think of everything in the box as off limits for your worry, for your reasoning, for your stress and pressure. Think of blessings and good things and anything that liberates you from worry about what's in that box. And that's how you'll feed your faith and you'll starve your fears. And in a time like this, that's definitely what we want to do. Now, as we watch the news, wow, it's pretty scary right now. And that's why I really think it is an incredible time to show the world peace and joy. And I believe we can do that. I think we can do that. I think we have the ability to apply peace, to apply joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we apply that to the situations that we're in, I believe we can actually change the atmosphere around us. We may not be able to do anything for, on the world stage, but we can certainly change the place where God has put us. And so I want us to think about peace a little bit. You know, I want us to reflect on how we can increase our peace, because peace is more than just, peace on earth at Christmas time. You get those greeting cards that fill certain holiday seasons, and they have gauzy images of doves and starlight, and it says peace on earth, and that's beautiful. But it's more than that. It's more than just telling people, have a nice day, right? Peace, peace out. It's different than just have a nice day. And it's more than just bland sentiments that accompany two fingers in the air on a T-shirt. Or a word that means hello or goodbye, or even kind of a dreamy Instagram goal for mental health. Peace is a powerful force. It's so powerful that Jesus Christ said, my peace I leave with you. Of all the things he could have left with us, those of us that believe in him and follow him, he could have left a lot. My help, my love, my wisdom, but he left my peace. So peace, that wonderful sentiment that nothing is missing and nothing is broken, it's a powerful force. And its balance represents a way of walking in wholeness. Peace is more than the absence of war. It's not just the opposite of strife either. Our tribal traditions teach us that peace is the natural state of balance in our soul, in our spirit, in our environment, and in the human heart. And a loss of peace represents a warning sign that something is out of balance. Prayers and songs and dances and ceremony were the traditional ways of restoring peace between people and nature and even in our own hearts. You know, when you don't feel well in your physical body, you go to a doctor and you might describe a cough or an ache or pain that's troubling you. But the doctor knows that those are simply symptoms of a deeper ailment. A doctor might take your physical temperature, but becoming aware of the presence of peace is almost the same. It's a way of taking a soul temperature. It's a way to access divine protection, divine provision, and divine presence. You know, the Bible tells us that strife is accompanied by every evil work. I mean, every evil work. That's why the atmosphere spiritually is so strange right now. There's strife at the highest levels of government, and strife between nations of the world, and strife between people in the parking lot, and strife between people who like masks and vaccines and people who don't. And there's strife between political parties, and strife between neighbors and friends and churches and homes. And a lot of evil work can accompany that. And so that's why we have to be so aware of how we can be peacemakers, how we can, in situations, bring wholeness and healing and balance into our lives and the lives of our families and friends and loved ones. You ever met somebody and immediately you lost your peace? Like, you were just fine. There was nothing bad happening, but you met them and talked to them and you felt really drained. They were energy vampires, maybe, or they brought a lot of strife. Their conversation was filled with strife. And you just don't, I don't know. It's just something about them, we'll say. Everyone else might love them. Everybody else says, oh, you're going to love so-and-so. And you meet them and just, something just doesn't sit right. Losing your peace might be a signal that you need to proceed with caution. Recognizing a loss of peace as a signal from the Spirit might be a method of divine protection. I think about my single sisters that are dating, and I think sometimes that might be all you get. You may not get a whole dossier on this person. You might not get a whole resume of why you shouldn't date them or like them. Just something about them disturbs your spirit. Something about them. You just don't have peace about them. Even if everything about them looks great and sounds great and seems great, just something about them. You can't get peace in your spirit. That's all you need. You don't need to know what's wrong. You just need to know that something is wrong. And so often, that has been a way that God protected me in business, in meeting people, in being in the public eye. Just, I lost my peace around them. I'm not going to make a business deal. And then I would find out, even like 2 years later, uh-oh, a scandal came out. Or, oh, wow, I found out what really this person is like. But I was safely away from them because I followed my peace. When you're making an important decision, learn to perceive when a specific option fills you with peace. See, the Holy Spirit often guides us in divine provision by leading us with feelings of peace. Even when the circumstances seem stormy, you just know that you know. And yet the Holy Spirit often leads us out of wrong decisions or away from wrong options by the lack of peace. Peace filling our souls often lets us know that we are on a good path and we're walking in a good way. And that's a direct contrast, you know, to mainstream culture, which views like being busy, being productive, being constantly in motion. That's normal to the mainstream. And then every so often you might have a burst of peace. But indigenous perspectives view peace as the normal condition of humanity, which must be restored when it's interrupted by imbalance. Divine presence in our worldview should be a constant. It's nurtured by participating in prayers and by singing and praising and serving and walking in a good way. And yet, you know, every culture has rituals and beliefs that encourage introspection and enlighten insights and uplift spirits. And maybe in times like these, even when you're the very most busy, when the most chaos and mayhem is going on, maybe that's when it's the very most important to pray, to meditate, to seek God. How you know him. Maybe you're too busy to be too busy to spend time with God. So you might be thinking, okay, that's great. That's wonderful, but have you seen the headlines? Do you know the stress that people are under? I mean, have you seen what is happening here? No wonder everybody's low on peace right now. Does that sound familiar? Well, your current lack of peace may be a symptom that there's a lack of balance in your spiritual life right now. And if you want to jumpstart your peace, take a minute and a deep breath and concentrate on the last time that you remember feeling peace, even if it seems like a long time ago. Feel the feelings that you felt at that time, especially the sense of peace. Let that peace surround you and your spirit. Let's do that right now. Just take a moment and think about your sense of peace. Oh, when was the last time you just felt peace? maybe you have a favorite childhood memory, or there's a photograph, or there's something that evokes that, a song, a movie, a place, an activity. Just sit with that for a minute. Think about peace in your soul. Think about how you felt when you really enjoyed your life. Isn't that refreshing? And see, now that you've calmed your heart and your mind and your soul and your will and your emotions, you can make that decision that you need to make. One of the things I discovered as a parent, I love being a parent. I feel like that was my calling all my life. I feel like that's what I was created to do. But one thing I didn't realize is how many decisions I would have to make about everything for another person and hope that they turn out okay and hope that it works out all right and hope that you don't, you know, traumatize them. And so sometimes I just have to access that peace. I go back to the wonderful joy and peace I felt in the delivery room when I felt mission accomplished. At last, my greatest dream has come true. And then I take that same sense of peace and I make the decisions I need to make. Even all the things you have to do. I know you're busy. I know you have a lot to do, and God wants us to be productive. He wants us to be fruitful. That's a better term. He wants us to rely on Him and let Him do through us the wonderful things He has for us to accomplish in His name. Because every person is given some gift or some talent or some mission or some call or some destiny that shows the world how much God loves them. But apart from Him, we can do nothing. And so we increase our peace as we go. And another way, my favorite way to increase your peace is to pray. And I think that prayers of thanksgiving and praise can refresh our internal environment. Regardless of what's going on in the news, regardless of the prices at the pump or the grocery store, regardless of what we do or don't have or how anybody else is acting, pausing throughout the day to pray can create an oasis of peace right in the middle of daily life. Giving thanks reminds us of the precious blessings we have already received and magnifies the mercy of our faithful Creator. Instead of the mayhem of everyday life, peace ushers in divine protection and divine provision and divine presence. And as you seek peace and pursue it, you may enjoy sharing that peace with others. You don't have to attend every argument you're invited to. You know, my granddaddy used to say that, I may see a donkey braying at me, but I don't have to bray back. He didn't use the word donkey, but you get the idea. Right? I mean, you don't have to leave your peace. You can spread peace. And this amazing spiritual force is the reward for balance. It's the way to reap blessings. And it's a dynamic manner of living. We're going to commercial, and while we do, you take a few minutes and just experience peace through prayer, through meditation, through however you experience and practice the presence of God. And we'll be right back with more encouragement.
To come and save her, better believe they get on their knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute! They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Les.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? Just
clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds, can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. This is a minimally invasive procedure. It is radiation-free, may destroy prostate cancer cells, and potentially has few side effects. This investigational procedure is performed at no cost to the patient. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com. Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Extinction is forever. To save America's most iconic and imperiled species from extinction, we must fight for their future. Fight to save the natural lands that wildlife call home. Fight to limit pollution. Fight for smart development. Fight for their future. And fight for ours. For so goes nature, So goes us.
What do you think you're doing, Kevin?
I was just gonna drive home.
There are several warning signs present that you shouldn't be driving.
Like hearing voices?
Like your text to emoji ratio?
Oh man, the selfies.
Selfie nailed it.
We all have warning signs that let us know that we're probably not okay to drive. Mine is pretending to be your subconscious.
Craig, come on man, let's put a ride home.
I don't recycle. I mean, we can just find another planet for your kids to live on, you know?
Log on to YouGottaBeKidding.org and learn about all the ways you can recycle.
Hey, recycling's just not my thing.
Don't be that guy. Log on to YouGottaBeKidding.org.
Sinking ship without the captain, it happens, but it don't have to. The father Dan knew before you were born and your life was mapped too. So give truth a chance and you will advance. God's will for your life is the real stance. Simplistic, some say, but still give props. God willing, I'll continue when the music stops. So I thumb how I stick out, take a click out. This is flow mania, if they pin, I kick out. Shots don't lick out, ain't no reason for it. I write a book or so in the off-season story. Critics may ignore it, it's what they do to real. It's a formula developed for a few to feel. With very little human support, I still manage. They ridicule my faith, but deal no real damage. If I retaliate, it feel like ill cannon. Mainstream starving, but still conceal famine.
We all need some encouragement today. There's a lot going on. Oh, my goodness. And we are still trying to have everyday life. We're still trying to do what the other things that need to be done every day in the midst of really some challenging times. But I'm going to encourage you to think of a powerful force and a weapon in your arsenal that we may not think of when we get in trouble. We might think of patience during difficult times, and we might think of self-control when things look bleak. We might even think of humility and generosity when economics are challenged and scarce, prices are high, and supply is low. We think of sharing with others. We think of walking in humility. We might even think of love. I hope we do, first and foremost, because love is God's first language. But very rarely does somebody get in a whole lot of trouble or see the world just really burning down, literally, and say, you know what we need in this situation? Joy. Yeah, joy is your spiritual force. You know, the Bible even tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and I think that's why circumstances conspire sometimes to make us miserable, because we're not as strong when we're filled with joy. And joy is super different from happiness. You know, happiness is situational, and it's based on what I have or don't have, or what I can do and what's meeting my needs and what I like about this situation and who I like and all of that. But joy is different. It's a spiritual force. And, you know, whatever you're facing in life, I know that joy is a spiritual force that will help you. See, all of us are guaranteed one thing in life. And that's trouble. Trouble comes to every life, regardless of age or stage of life or gender, nationality, personality, education, preferences, economic situation, global placement, anything you can name. Trouble can find you. My granddaddy used to say that it's guaranteed that trouble will come looking for you. And that's why you've got to be looking for joy. And joy is the antidote to trouble. I know, joy. Right, a lot of people think it's going to be peace. And that's good, that's wonderful. We love peace. We just spent some great time talking about it. But joy is not happiness. That's different. Happiness is based on circumstance and situation and who's around us in our lives. And I mean, let's look at it like this. If you are only happy when you're eating ice cream, what happens when your ice cream melts or runs out? Right, you're no longer happy. Now, if we talk about peace, of course, peace is wonderful. Nothing missing, nothing broken. But imagine what happens when we have joy and peace. Because joy is something different. It's that calm delight that fills our souls and sustains us no matter what is happening around us, no matter what we do or do not have. Joy is our strength. Joy is helping us to survive some of the deepest depths of despair and come out stronger on the other side. Joy strengthens our souls so that we can withstand the storms of life and learn lessons during them. Happiness is conditional, yet joy is unconditional. Happiness is rooted in external circumstances, and joy is a part of our internal environment. Happiness is based on favorable situations. And yet, joy can be a part of our mindset in any kind of situation. Happiness is an emotional feeling, yet joy is a spiritual force. So, how can we tap into the spiritual force of joy? In my book, What to Do If You Don't Know What to Do, which you can find on Kindle, I do share some shortcuts to seeing joy unspeakable and full of glory. But right here, I want to come back to one we talked about earlier in the show, and that's gratitude. Gratitude, honestly, is the only attitude worth having. Gratitude raises you to a higher spiritual level, one where, you know, the trouble you're in isn't magnified. You ever had something going wrong in your life, and you maybe called or texted somebody or messaged them to tell them about it? And then somebody else FaceTimed you and you told them about it. And then maybe you just sat down and thought about it. Or you watched a movie about it, or you listened to music about it, right? Sad songs. And then somebody else texted you and you told them about it. And then by the end of the day, it just seems so much worse. Right? You're depressing your own mind. You're discouraging your own soul. The trouble might have been a small amount of your day, and the rest of the day was just fine, but you've magnified the trouble. You've made it bigger. Now, I'm not talking about crisis. I'm not talking about tragedy. There are some things that are just awful, and they will always be awful, and they're awful. But a lot of times, the car trouble, or somebody that is not doing what we want them to do at work, or we went to a store and the clerk acted a certain way, and we make that our whole day. We talk about that 2 or 3 days to come. We tell everybody we know about the trouble we had and not about the good things that happened. And so, in the midst of all that trouble, how can you help the Holy Spirit to preserve your life and elevate your energy? You can be grateful. And that is absolutely a shortcut to joy. If you need a rapid way to release trouble and just quickly shift trouble, like instead of magnifying it and make it the biggest thing in your day, you might want to minimize it. You might want to put it in perspective. You might want to look at it the way that you need to see it in order to navigate through it, counting your blessings. We'll do that. When we're kids, we sing an old song, Count Your Blessings, right? Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I love that. Because in the midst of trouble, what we are doing is magnifying the blessing. And that gives us joy. We can realize then that more things in our lives are working for us and in our favor than we might think at the moment. We make a list of everything good in our lives, even if it seems hard to do at first. See, trouble has been the biggest issue in your conversation for a while. It's been the primary thought in your life for a while. And so sometimes it does take a little bit to magnify the good things, and it feels a little bit strange at first. Sometimes it feels irresponsible. Why am I not worrying about this? Why am I not troubled? Why am I not upset? But remember what we talked about. Something for God to do. And so, if we count our blessings, what we see is that God has been doing all along. We see that he's been taking care of us. We see that he's been helping us. We see that we have everything we need in him. And this trouble doesn't look quite as impossible anymore. Pause and calmly think about each blessing. Fill your heart and your mind and your spirit with thanksgiving. And the more you're thankful, the more you will realize that you have even more things to be thankful for, and that you have many more good things in your life than bad ones. Start with the tiny things, the little things, and as your list grows, you are increasing your spiritual force of joy and elevating your perspective. See, when you let your joy be your strength, you feel revitalized. You feel refreshed. Joy helps you to see what you already have. Solutions, answers, provision, allies, information, wisdom, knowledge. And it changes your perspective on the situation. When you count your blessings, think about how many of those blessings came out of situations that seemed impossible at the time. And yet, look at that. You were blessed anyway. You were healed anyway. You thought you weren't going to make it. Oh, but you did. You didn't know what you were going to do. But then you got wisdom and solutions, and guess what? It worked. You were troubled, and you were worried, and you didn't know if it would ever work, and you were frightened and scared, and everything was terrible. And then guess what? You made it. God brought you out. And sometimes it's great to unleash gratitude. I mean, you're counting your blessings, you're reflecting and remembering and paying attention, and then move into a time of gratitude. How many times did we not say thank you? You got sick, you didn't feel well, you got better. Thank God it wasn't COVID. It turned out to just be a cold, and you went on your way. Did you say thank you? You didn't know how you were going to pay that bill, and then suddenly something happened and a door of opportunity opened and you were able to pay that bill. So often we just do that and forget about it. Pray and we ask God to help us, and then we underpraise Him. We don't really give thanks enough for all the things that are happening in our favor every day. You made it to work safely and you got home from work safely, and somebody says, well, how was your day? And you say, fine. And they say, what happened? Nothing. That is a praise report. It's a praise report. It's something to be thankful for when you can say that everybody's fine. How are your kids? Oh, they're all fine. Oh, that we should be shouting the victory, praising God right there. Nothing bad is happening. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, I really feel convicted about that sometimes. Thanksgiving should be what comes out of our mouth first thing in the morning. We should praise God and give thanks. And when you watch the news, pray for the people who are suffering. Pray for people who are in trouble. Because we are thankful and grateful that we can intercede for others and we're not the ones in trouble this time. I really want you to have peace and joy in your life. But you have to be willing to have it. And I'm thinking about a time when I went to see our medicine man, and we were talking, and I said, I'm just so tired of my problems. I'm tired of talking about my problem and thinking about my problem, and I'm tired of praying over and over again about the same sad problem. And you know what I'm really tired of is having me on my mind all the time. And he laughed at me, and he said, you know, then get busy blessing somebody else. Call them and ask how they are doing. Pray about other people's problems. Cheer someone else up. Volunteer. Give. Share. Do something that takes your mind off your problems. And they might still be there when, you know, you get back, but you'll be refreshed and ready to tackle them again with new energy. And you might not even realize it. But while you're doing something for others and helping other people, God has taken care of the things that you need done. You ever had that? You ever been so busy praying for somebody else and helping somebody else, and then just somehow while you were doing that, your situation just cleared up? Well, that's no accident. And you know, my medicine man was right, because volunteering is a vacation from our own lives. And we may even realize that we feel better. We feel sure of our purpose and our destiny after we help others. We might even realize that we don't have it so bad after all. I mean, get busy. Be a blessing. Clean out your closets and donate the clothing. Visit or check on an elder. Give time or money or skills to help somebody else. You know, I have a friend that goes to the rescue, animal rescue, and grooms and pets the kittens whenever she feels stressed. And the kittens offer her unconditional love. And yet she feels useful. She feels balanced in her own life. And I know, I've seen the prices. I have seen the news. I've seen the politics. I've seen it all. And it's tempting to think, you know, how can I help somebody else? Have you seen my circumstances? Do you know how much trouble I'm dealing with right now? And you may be thinking that your crisis needs all of your own time and concentration. And see, sometimes in my life, when I'm tempted to think, oh, I don't have time to help others, there's nothing I can do for them, I can barely help myself, then that's when I know I have to help others. Even if it's just taking some food over to the blessing box, or donating some clothes, or trying to text and call people to uplift their spirits, I know whenever I'm tempted to be selfish that my problem is damaging my perspective. My granddaddy used to say, everybody can't help everybody, but everybody can help somebody. And that's exactly what we need to know. And sometimes the best way we can help others is by being loving and kind and merciful toward them. Because, see, most problems aren't permanent. And it's truly important that we remain humble when our own storms pass over. Prepare to share your own experiences with other people who find themselves in similar situations to the hardship that you faced. I mean, remember how you got out of trouble? Somebody helped you. You had car trouble and somebody came along and jumped your battery or gave you a ride. You didn't have enough, but somebody shared what they had with you. Somebody cared about you and listened while you told them how you felt. Maybe it took a few miracles. I mean, we don't have to dwell on our difficulties, but it sure does help us to remain humble and grateful once we escape from our trials. See, we can be more patient with other people who are suffering and going through turmoil when we remember that we had to have help. It brings us to humility. And humility comes before honor. Humble people get the help. Helping other people through their anguish can be a good way to remind ourselves to be grateful of our blessings during a difficult time. And so, as I close today, I want us to get off the couch, take some action steps. We don't want to just be hearers, we want to be doers. And so, who can you encourage today? Who could use a text from you? Who could use a phone call from you? And you don't have to talk to them for hours and hours. It doesn't even have to be your best friend. You just have to care. Who might appreciate your insights about what you've learned during your own time of strife? I mean, who can you uplift with what you know when you went through your situation? Who can you just be quiet and listen to? Sometimes people in your life just, they don't need you to offer advice or fix it. They just want some company. They just want somebody to call and say, I care about you. They want somebody to text, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you. And then be ready to listen when they reply. Listening can provide a powerful way for us to bless others while we're being blessed ourselves. And I don't know about you, but you know what usually happens. When I set out to be a blessing, I'm the one that gets blessed. I get blessed too. I can start off feeling kind of, ugh, about my day. And by the time I get through, I feel like, wow, yeah, I'm grateful and thankful. And so I know that all of us need some encouragement today. But let's start by bringing love and joy and kindness and generosity and humility into the world. As we share it with others, I really believe that God will multiply it to us as well. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm grateful for you, thankful for you, and I'm joyful that we had this time together.
Come and save her. Let her believe it. Get on her knees and pray her. Then pray her. And never look back once the world forgave you. And save her. Let her believe it. Get on her knees and pray her. Then pray her. And never look back once the world forgave
you. You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.